This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. Madeline is my co-host today. And our next guest is, let me look here, I want to get this right, Dr. Shadi Kashaba, is that right, Shadi?
Macca, just before we go to that, we need to send out a quick message, which is what we're meant to be doing next. And we'll talk to Dr. Shadi in just a moment.
Yes, you were pointing. Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll come back to Dr. Shadi.
Now, Eurovision fans rejoice. The Eurovision Top 100 is back for 2023. I know you're all incredibly excited by that. So get your Easter eggs and hot cross buns ready as we team up with OGAE Australia to count down your favourite 100 Eurovision songs on Easter Monday, April 10. That's from 10 a.m. Melbourne time. And if you're in Australia, you can vote right now at joy.org.au/joy Eurovision. Now, voting closes tomorrow. So, April 2. Australia's Eurovision Top 100 with OGAE Australia, Monday, April 10, right here and on Joy from 10 a.m. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Madeline. Our next guest is Dr. Shadi Kashaba. Shadi is a fertility specialist and is going to share with us a bit of a story on his own two dads and one surrogate journey. Good morning, Shadi. How are you?
Good morning, Macca. How are you?
I'm pretty good, and my co-host is Madeline this morning.
Good morning, Shadi.
Look, we've talked...
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
We've talked a few times on the show about fertility. Now, you're an experienced fertility specialist, and you've been providing fertility medicine and obstetric services to female and male patients for over 10 years. Tell us about your experience first, just so our listeners can get a feel, not just your clinical experience, but share with us what you can about your personal experience and journey.
All right. Well, it was an incredible journey. We always wanted to have kids, me and my partner. So that was in the back of our minds, and we didn't know where to start from. I know the process, like, medically, but where do we start from? Do we ask, like, friends, family members to start with donating eggs? So as male couples or gay couples, we need an egg to start a family. So that's when we approached my partner's sister, and his name is John, and she agreed to give us eggs. And that was our first step. So we created those embryos. And then one of our friends, and she's actually a very close friend of mine, she offered to carry both our kids. So we started with one, and we have our daughter. And then she told us, I want to help you not only start your family, but also to complete it, which is, like, just a wonderful thing to have and a friend to have.
Can I just ask you?
We went with the second one.
How do you start the discussion with, can I have some of your eggs, please? I mean, how do you start the conversation? I mean, I'm interested, how do you start the conversation?
Well, people would know. I mean, if you're a gay male or even female, like a lesbian or intersex or any part of a LGBTQI community, we would need help to start our families. And usually that seed is already out there with a lot of our acquaintances, friends, and family members. Because, you always talk about it, say, well, yeah, it's lovely to hang out with, say, our nephews. And, we've always wanted to have kids. And you plant that seed and you talk about it or with everyone around you. And, a lot of the patients that come to me that tells me, someone came up to me and told me, I would love to be an egg donor for you.
Wow.
So there's a lot of generous people out there. And uh, if you plant the seed and talk about it, we'll realize and it'll happen.
20 years ago or so, there was a group, I don't know if it still exists, that was all about this. So lesbians and gay men that were looking to find people to either co-parent with or donate eggs or go on whatever journey. Was it called Maybe Baby or something like that? Or
yeah, that rings a bell. Yeah, I think it was...
We certainly went along to it because I've got my own sort of journey with IVF and having babies this way. But I don't know if that still exists. So you said you just went for your immediate friendship circle, which is maybe that's a better way to go. I don't know.
Yeah, well, families come in all shapes, sizes, and forms.
They do.
But, I mean, there is something like Rainbow Families, which is a very big organization. And they got, like, heaps of gay dads, lesbian mom, intersex couple. And it's just growing every year. I mean, this year at Mardi Gras, there were, like, 4 floats for Rainbow Family. Mm. Yeah. And there is a subgroup of Rainbow Babies and kids. So it's growing and become more and more and more common. So definitely it's not pioneering anything over here.
No, not pioneering. But I mean, back in those early days, I remember there was people were so desperate to find somebody to have children with, and because it was something that had always been denied to us. So it was a case of, oh, you want a baby too, and let's just do this without necessarily a lot of background preparation happening. And that we did hear some awful stories where people co-parented, sort of gay men and gay women or whatever, or surrogacy stories, and it all going horribly wrong because it was almost as if they hadn't done their due diligence, if you know what I mean. They hadn't really got to know each other as people and understood that when you have a child with somebody, you're going to be in that person's life forever. The other person, and I guess this is something that is very close to my heart because I co-parent with a gay man, and we have 2 children now. One is 22, one's 19, I always think that we were a bit lucky that we found it hard to get pregnant, and it took us a couple of years because we took that time to get to know each other a little bit better, and we actually, the 4 of us, we live together. And after 20 years, we've still all lived together, and our children have grown up with possibly one of the most boringly, I touch wood now, but one of the most boringly stable houses and households and harmonious households that you could imagine. But it could so easily have not gone that well.
And can I ask, Madeline, do you think, you know, that you took the time to get to know each other? Do you think that made a big difference to this stability?
I think it did. It wasn't intentional, but I think it did. But I think what we found out, and what we've also found out over the years, is that the things that we have in common are the important things, and they're sensitive humour, politics, being non-confrontational, things like that. But definitely political opinions, and also that which all parents learn. But the difference is when you're, and this is different to your situation, Shadi, because obviously you're in a close relationship with your partner, but with the relationship with your surrogates, it's that, and the donors, the egg donors, it's that thing about respect. It's all about respect, and it's about how you treat each other in front of the children and all those sorts of things. I'm going to shut up because I'm taking up time when we should be hearing from you, but yeah.
No, absolutely. I agree. I mean, I'm not sure back in the day, I mean, when you started your family, did you have any counselling or engage a clinical psychologist?
No, we didn't at all, actually. I think we had to be signed off. We had help from that marvellous pioneer, Dr. John McBain. I don't know if you know him. And I always admired him so much because he... You know, I believe he had a very quite strict Presbyterian background, but he believed that the people that he met, he thought, well, this isn't fair. I've talked to you, I've met you. You deserve to be parents if it's possible. And he did everything in his power to make that happen for people, and he certainly made it happen for me. But we didn't have professional counselling. What we did do is we went and got legal advice and made co-parenting mm-hmm. agreements, which wouldn't be legally binding, but they were just a thing of intent.
Of intent, yeah.
And the solicitors at the time said, oh, this is fantastic. We wish all couples would come to us because we only see people when things go horribly wrong. So we had that in black and white that sort of said, we said things like, we will try and be in the same city until our son or child or daughter at this point is 18. Yeah. We didn't say we'd all end up, four of us, living wow. together 20 years later. But yeah.
Do you think?
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful story.
Oh, it's pretty good. Well, how old are your children now, Shadi?
They're 2 and 4. Oh, so still early days. And we're in the park. But part of it, like you brought it up, I mean, what I found very useful when we went through the process ourselves, like the counseling process. So, part of the legislation when you donor in a New South Wales, you have to have counseling session.
Right.
For the intended parent and the donor themselves. And that prepares you to know what to expect and what not to expect and what could happen and what is the legislation that covers that. Now, when we go to surrogacy bit, there is actually comprehensive clinical psychology sessions and assessment that I found are very useful, and how to navigate difficult conversation and difficult times and different aspects of knowing the surrogates and knowing what scenarios could arise. You can't cover all scenarios, but what if this arises? What are your thoughts like? How are you going to react to that? How are you going to react to that? And then our psychologists also touch base on the languages of love. Because, I mean, if someone carries your baby and carries it for you for 9 months, it's a truly selfless
yeah,
thing.
It's extraordinary.
You truly love the surrogate for doing that. And sometimes, I mean, couple, when they're together, they speak different languages of love and that can be misunderstood. So it's called the 5 T's, I believe. Mm-hmm. If some people prefer time, some people prefer to talk, some people prefer tokens, small tokens, touch could be part of it, or tasks. Yeah. If you do task, that could be your language of love. So definitely understanding what the other person language of love and to be appreciated sets a lot of expectations when we started this journey and embarked on it.
And what advice, Shadi, would you give to people who would like to follow the same sort of journey that you've taken?
Well, I mean, I think most people think it's not doable, which is absolutely not true. I mean, I made a lot of friends within the LGBT community. I think surrogacy in Australia is not allowed or is illegal, and people have to travel overseas to start a family, which is not true. I mean, surrogacy in Australia is allowed. It has to be altruistic. That means there is no financial compensation for the surrogacy itself. You can financially compensate for that, for time lost and medical expenses, but you can't pay for it. But definitely it's legal. And anyone who is interested in that, keep your options open, talk about it, realize it, talk to other like family members, and get the grasp on it. If you want to have counseling to discuss what are the challenges, what to expect, it's definitely useful.
Right.
Fantastic.
And a good place to start from is to meet also a fertility specialist to make sure your fertility status is okay.
Exactly. Look, unfortunately, Shadi, we're out of time. I really appreciate you sharing your story and also Madeline, yours. I think it's a nice thing. So, look, thank you so much, Shadi, for your time. I want to close with one thought. Your young children, just think ahead another 15 or 20 years or so. We're already at the point where we're almost going to have a second generation of IVF babies from the first lot.
Yeah.
So you've got that to look forward to, potentially.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Enjoy the weekend.
Great. Thank you very much. That was Dr. Shadi Kashaba, fertility specialist, telling his and sharing his story with us. You are on SatMag with Madeline and Macca. When we come back, not the same issue, but intergenerational school performance. See if you can get your head around that. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.